Chodesh Kislev. Thank you, Dr. Shaka, for reinstituting the Rosh Chodesh Shiurim. Thank you, everyone, for attending and coming out this evening. Hopefully, together with the Schus of the Tzibur, we'll be able to walk away with something practical, something that we can implement ourselves into our own Avoida, particularly in this Chodesh Kislev. Of course, the month of Chanukah, the end of the month, Chaf Hei Kislev will be Chanukah. Nonetheless, we can already start with it now. We can start with ideas of Chanukah and what we can glean from the lessons of Chanukah, and particularly in our performance of mitzvahs. It should be a schus for Hadassah Leah Bas Shoshana, Kleina Miss Kalman Ben Sarah Rivka, for all those who need a Yeshua. The Rambam tells us in Hilchas Chanukah, the Rambam says that mitzvahs ner Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. That the mitzvah of ner Chanukah is a wonderful mitzvah, it is a very beloved mitzvah. It's a mitzvah chaviva ad ma'od. It's an extremely endearing mitzvah. It's endearing to Hashem, it's endearing to us. Either way, what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam seems to isolate this mitzvah. It's not for the Rambam to decide which mitzvahs are worth more, which ones are more dear to us or to Hashem. And certainly the Rambam codified the laws. He's trying to tell us how we observe the mitzvah. And why here does the Rambam tell us, as he inserts here, that mitzvah ner Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It is a very dear mitzvah. What makes it so dear, and what are we supposed to do with that? So let us begin with the famous, you can call it a machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam in Parshas Bahaloscha. Rashi tells us that the Parsha of Bahaloscha, which is the Torah telling us about the commandment to Aaron to light the menorah, Bahaloscha Saneros, when you light up the menorah, the mitzvah of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, that is juxtaposed right next to the Chanukah Sanesiim, the karbonos that the Nesiim, each head of the tribes, each leader of each tribe, of the 12 tribes, they donated special karbonos, special gifts to be brought at the Chanukah Samishkan. At the inauguration of the Mishkan, they brought special gifts. Each of them brought actually the same one, but the Torah repeats each of them because each came up with the idea on their own. Each one originated the idea on their own. And therefore the Torah enumerates each one, even though it's just a repetition. And here the question is, if it didn't happen chronologically that way, why do we juxtapose these two ideas, these two events, next to each other? That of the giving of the Chanukah Sanesiim, the leaders of each tribe, and the gifts and the karbonos that they brought when the Mishkan was first built, and that of the commandment to Aaron to light the lights in the Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi tells us like this, Lefisha kashara Aaron, Chanukah Sanesiim chol shadaita, when he saw that the leaders of each of the other tribes, the 12 tribes, they brought gifts, they brought karbonos, chol shadaitai. He felt bad, he felt hurt, he was upset. Why? Shalehaya imam b'chanukah. He was not with them, he did not participate. Why didn't he participate? We're not told why he didn't participate. It seems like he didn't get the idea. It seems like he didn't have this original idea like the other leaders of the tribes had. And therefore, Aaron HaKohen and the Shevet Levi, the only ones who were left out, so to say. They were left out from giving these karbonos at the beginning of the building of the Mishkan. Lo yehu v'lo shivtei, neither him nor his Shevet participated. So there were 12, and Aaron was not one of them. Shevet Levi was not one of them. You had Reuven and Shimon, not Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Zevulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, Binyamin, and then Yosef's two children, Menashe and Ephraim. Those are the 12 leaders of the tribes, but Aaron HaKohen was not one of them. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, I see that you feel bad, but don't worry. Chayecha, by your life, Shalcha Gedei L'Mishelahem, yours is greater than theirs. Sha'ata madlaku meitav esaneris, because you are going to light and you're going to arrange the candles in the lights in the Beis HaMikdash. That's going to be your job. That's going to be special. So don't worry, you didn't participate here, because you're going to have something very special as well. And not only are you going to have something special, yours is going to be greater than theirs. Shalachag yudayla mishalahem. And here the Ramban takes issue with Rashi in how he interprets this chazal, how he interprets this statement of the sages. Why? He says, because why would Aaron be pacified just by the fact that he has something to do in the service of the Beis HaMikdash? That means the Nesiim, the leaders of the tribes, did something in the Mishkan. And Aaron, you'll also have something in the Mishkan. So why would he be comforted by those words? Why would he be comforted? Don't worry, you'll have the lights to kindle in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Ramban asks further, he says, why did Hashem, if that's the conversation going on between Hashem and Aaron, why did Hashem specify that particular service? The lighting of the menorah? Could have been a lot of other things. The keteres, bringing the incense, bringing the spices in the morning and the afternoon, the aroma going up to Hashem, areach nichayach, that also, we see the Torah itself praises that service, that avodah. Why not use that? The Kohen Gadol himself had a special minchas chavitin that he would bring daily in the Beis HaMikdash. The service of Yom HaKippurim can only be done by the Kohen Gadol. Why didn't Hashem tell Aaron, that's what you would do, you merit that? Additionally, says the Ramban, what was Aaron HaKohen so upset about? He also was able to bring karbonis at the inauguration of the Mishkan. There were 7 days, and in the final 8th day, that they inaugurated the Mishkan, when all the service done within the Mishkan. And Aaron, you participated over there. So why are you so upset? So they brought karbonis, and you bring karbonis. Oh, you might say that's different, because there Hashem commanded you. Well, if Hashem commanded you and Hashem didn't command the Nesiim, the leaders of the tribes, and they initiated on their own, and that's what's so special about it, so then how is he comforted by saying, you will have the commandment of lighting the menorah? That's also a commandment. So these are just some of the questions that the Ramban has difficult with Rashi's explanation on this chazal. And therefore the Ramban says that this whole agadic dialogue that we are told about is just to allude to a different set of neros, a different menorah, and that is the neros in the Bayesheni, the Aaron Ubanov, Ritzeni Leimah. What I mean is Chashmonai Kohen Gadol Uvanov. And the Ramban says what this means is that Aaron HaKohen felt bad that he wasn't able to participate. Indeed, he did not think about it. He did not think of bringing karbonis, bringing the special gifts when Hashem's house was finally built in the form of the Mishkan. He felt bad about it, chol shadaitai, and Hashem says, don't worry, there will be a time when you and your tribe, your descendants, your children, will also originate something. And that's the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the conclusion of the Ramban. And it also needs explanation. They didn't initiate the menorah. The menorah was a mitzvah that was going on for hundreds of years. Yes, they rededicated it. It had stopped. But it's the same mitzvah of menorah. So what was so special about that? And why was Aaron's feelings calmed down? How was he pacified by Hashem by telling him, don't worry, you have this special mitzvah of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash in the Bayis Sheni. The menorah and the lighting of the menorah is a unique avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And this we see from Chazal. The Medrash tells us that the menorah is different than the other forms of avoda, with bringing the ketores, bringing the incense and burning it up, bringing karbonos. The menorah is different than all other of the services in the Beis HaMikdash. In which way? Let's learn the Medrash. This is a Medrash in the beginning of Parshas Baal Oscha. The pasuk tells us Hashem chafetz leman tzidka yagdil Torah v'yadir. Hashem desired that we have zchusim, that we get merits. And therefore yagdil Torah, he expanded the Torah, he made it even more numerous than is necessary, he gave us a lot of mitzvahs to do. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm giving you a commandment of lighting neiros, lighting lights in the Beis HaMikdash, in the menorah. It's not because I need the neiros. I don't need the light. That's not why I'm commanding you to do it. To give you this chus, to give you this merit of being able to light candles in my Beis HaMikdash, that's why I'm giving it to you. Because it says, Hashem lives with light. There's no darkness before Hashem. There's no difference day and night to Hashem. Hashem is just permeated with light. Light is all around Him in terms of what we could understand. He doesn't need our candles. The truth is, He doesn't need our kabbonis either. Let's not fool ourselves. When we bring up the keteris, when the kohen lights the incense and the smoke goes up, it's not like Hashem likes the aroma. So you could say that on any of the avodas of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Medrash continues. The Medrash says that one can argue and say that actually we are bringing karbanos, we are doing something, there was no animal being sacrificed over here, and we're bringing on the Mizbeach, there was no smoke going up, whatever smoke represents, and that goes up to the heavens, and Hashem enjoys that smell, kaviyachol. So it's plausible to say, and make, at least a person could think, that he's doing something, kaviyachol, fakadosh baruch hu. However, there was an interesting phenomenon in the Beis HaMikdash in that one can never fool himself into thinking that he's actually doing something by lighting lights. Why is that? Not only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all light and he light surrounds him. It's more than that, says the Medrash. Says the Medrash like this. Teida. Kishadam Baina Bayis. When a person builds a house, Oysela Chaloinois. If he wants the light from outside, he wants the sunlight to come into his house, so he fashions the window in such a way that you should get the most amount of sunlight to come into the home. When a person does that, tsaris mi bachutz, they're more narrow on the outside, and rechavis mi bifnim, and they widen as they go in. Kadesh ya'ar nichnas mi bachutz u'meir mi bifnim. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't like that. Ushloima kishabana Beis HaMikdash le'osekach. Shloima HaMelech, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, he did not fashion the windows that way. How did he do it? Just the opposite. They were narrow on the inside the hole, and then they widened as they went out. Why did he do it that way? Actually, to have the opposite effect, because the Beis HaMikdash was full with light, and that light was to be given to the outside. So we don't need the light actually coming from the inside, but actually the light from the inside is able to go out as well and give light to the outside. Why did Hashem command us to light these neiros, these lights in the Beis HaMikdash? Not only is that not necessary, not only is it we're not really giving anything to Hashem, but when you imagine if you're very close as you can get to the sun, imagine it's a there's a blazing sun outside, and Hashem says, oh, I want you to light a candle. Give me light, then light a candle. A little candle. Even seven of them. Seven candles in the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. What are they going to do when there's like a blazing sun over here? All the light in the Beis HaMikdash was enough to even give to the outside. And Hashem is saying, light for me candles. And therefore, it's undeniable that this has nothing to do with us, but rather Hashem says, I'm allowing you to light candles, lezakaisam, because Hashem chafetz l'man tzidkai. Not only that, the Medrash says, Elaim atem zehirim lahadleges haneris lefanai. If you're careful to light these lights, ani meir lachem oire gedoyla, I will give you a great light, la'asad lavi. So that's the point of the menorah. That's the idea of the menorah. It's obviously it's in a greater way, in a greater expression of Hashem sort of allowing us to do something for Him. When it's not necessary, we don't add anything to Him. And certainly in the form of lights, we don't add any light to the Beis Hamikdash, to Hashem's home. We don't add any light to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yet Hashem says, I allow you to do that. There's a similar medrash which tells us about a mashal of a melech who had a good friend. And the king says to his good friend that I want to come eat by you. So please prepare a meal for my coming, for my arrival, and we'll eat together. And the person does that, the friend of the king, he prepares a simple table with a simple meal and a simple candelabra in the middle. And then when the king finally arrives, so his whole entourage comes in first, and they look at what's going, and they take away the simple table, and they set up a lavish table, and with fancy dishes, that's befitting for a king. And the friend of the king is so embarrassed, he's mortified, of course, this is what I was going to give for the king, so quickly he hides everything that he set up, he puts it away into a different room. When the king comes in, the king says, what happened? Where is all the things that you prepared? I'm waiting to eat with you. So he says to the king, he says, Ra'isi es kol ha'kavod hazeh shabayinu. When I saw all of this fancy honor that they brought for you the king, he said, v'nisbayashti, I was embarrassed. So v'tmanti kol ma'shitkanti, with everything that I prepared, I hid it away. I was just too embarrassed to be able to give you from my simple table. And the king says to him, no. Chayecha shani paisel es kol kli shehevesi. All of the dishes, all of the fancy silverware that I brought, all of the fancy table, I'm not going to use that. U'bishvil avoscha eini mishtamish ele bishalcha. I only want to use what you have. And again, not that Hashem needs it, not that the king needed it, but Hashem says, I want to be mezakeh you. I want to give you merit and allow you to prepare something for me. I'm only going to use what you give me. V'chein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kulay ayra. He's completely light, unahayra imei shara. But yet, he says, prepare for me a menorah, light for me candles. What do we see from these medrashim? Number one, we see that even though we don't really give anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not like He needs us, but yet He allows us to do it. He allows us to do these mitzvahs. He allows us to serve Him. He allows us to prepare for Him. He allows us to prepare a Shabbos table, a Yom Tov table for Him. Within our capability, he says, yes, this is what I want. I want what you can prepare for me, that's what I want. And even though it's like lighting a candle when there's a blazing sun, we don't add anything. We're not adding anything to Hashem. We're not really giving anything to Hashem. But Hashem says, I want you to have that schus. It's like could be analogous to a person who wants to build his sukkah, and his little 5-year-old really wants to help out. He wants to build the sukkah because he learned in school all about building a sukkah. So the father says, yeah, come, you're going to help build the sukkah. And He lets the kid hold on for one end of the beam, and meanwhile the father's carrying everything, and he puts it up, and the whole sukkah is built, and then the kid looks at this, his accomplishments. Wow, look, he built it. Yes, you built the sukkah. He didn't add anything, but the father could allow the child to think that he actually helped, and he added to the building of the sukkah. And that's why Hashem allows us to do that. That's certainly one idea we can take away from these midrashim. But there's a deeper idea here. I think there's another dimension that we can take away from this midrash. Let's preface it with a story. There was a wealthy individual who came to the great sage Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman in Bnei Brak, shall live and be well. And he came for advice. And he said to Rabbi Steinman, he says, I'm about to engage in a business deal, which I don't know which way it's going to go. It could be I'll lose my entire investment, or it could be I'll make a hefty profit. And I want some advice. I want a bracha, I want a blessing before I engage in this. So Rabbi Aaron Leib told him, says, I think you should take a partner with you. You take a partner, then it should be successful. It's okay. Good, it's always good to network, you know. So says, who should I take as a partner? So Rabbi Aaron Leib told him, take HaKadosh Baruch Hu as your partner. Take him as your partner, you'll be matzliach, you'll be successful. But, you know, he has to have his share. So the wealthy man understood, you know, he says, Rav Steinman should know that I always take off meiser. All of my earnings, 10%, right away is taken, put into a separate account. I always do that. But I'll make sure, certainly, to do that. And Rav Steinman shook his head, says, that's not going to work over here. Oh, okay. It's not going to work over here. Okay. 20%. Okay, I can handle that. 20%. I'm ready to give 20%. Steinman said, no, you don't understand. If he's your partner, it's 50-50. A partner is 50-50. You have to be willing to give 50% of all your earnings. That's going to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's going to go to Tzedakah. 50%. Okay, the man left. End of story. You know what people found out about the story? There was one particular Rosh Yeshiva who traveled to Chutz Laretz to raise money, raise funds for his yeshiva. And he knew about this story. And he went to a particular wealthy individual, and he figured he's going to tell him the story, and he'll be so impressed that really that's the way you should have your business dealings, give half of it away if it's tzedakah. So he told this story to this man. He finishes the story, and the man starts laughing out loud in a sarcastic way. He says, my dear friend, do you know who that wealthy person was who went to Rav Steinman? It was me. And you know something? The business deal failed. Even though I started giving away half of it went sour in the end, it didn't work. So when you go back to Eretz Yisrael, if you don't mind, maybe just tell Rav Steinman that the advice he gave didn't really work out to my favor. Well, the Rashi was certainly a little embarrassed to do this, but when he went back to Eretz Yisrael, he went into Rav Steinman and he told him what happened. So Rav Steinman heard this, and Rav Steinman smiled. And he says, did he tell you the conversation that we had? I told him he should take a partner. He said, 10%. I said, that's not a 20%. Bekoshi, I said, Shutav is a 50-50. You take it apart, it's 50-50. In his mind, he walked out saying, okay, begrudgingly, I'll give 50%. And he thought he's doing God the biggest favor. And God doesn't need our favors. And if that was his attitude, there was no way that his partner was going to let it be successful. And the truth is, these are the words of a Chazal. Medrash says like this, Ruach HaKodesh Emeris, Hashem says, Mi hikti mani va'ashalem. Whoever preceded me, whoever gave me something first, and then expects that he's paying me. And the Medrash gives a whole list of things. A person says, oh, I praise Hashem. I always thank Hashem. Hashem says, were you able to thank me before I gave you a neshama that could thank me? Who was able to give a brismila on their firstborn son with such gratitude to Hashem? And look, Hashem, I'm getting the best mail, I'm getting the best lox and bagels for my bris. Hashem says, were you able to do that before I gave you a son? Me also limake, were you able to build a fence around your roof? Before I gave you a house and a roof. Me also limezuzah, do you ever put? Was anyone able to put up a mezuzah? Before I gave him a house. Me also lisukah, was anyone able to give me a sukkah? Before I gave him a place to build the sukkah. Me also lulav, before he had money to buy the lulav, he was able to buy it. Me also tzitzis, he put on the tzitzis. He bought the tzitzis that are the most expensive and the whitest and the cleanest. Were you able to do that before Hashem says, before I gave you a beged? Me hifish lefani peya, who was able to separate a corner of the field? Actually, nesatli sada, before I gave him first the field. Me hifish li truma, actually, nesatli gairin. You took off truma, you took off the necessary tithes before you were able to harvest in the wheat. Me hifrish lefane chala, who was able to take off chala, ashlin esati leisa, before I gave them the dough. Me hifrish lefane carbon, ashlin esati le behema, who was able to give me a carbon, offer up a sacrifice? Here, Hashem, I'm giving you from my wealth. Hashem says, were you able to give me anything before I gave you first? Before I provided for you? Anything you gave, I first provided for you. When we do mitzvahs a lot of times, we feel good about it. And we should. We should feel good that we're doing the right thing. And we should encourage ourselves and encourage others to continue doing mitzvahs. We need that encouragement. But to ever think that we're doing Hashem a favor, and we feel that Hashem's just going to be proud of us because look how much we're doing for Him. That's like the Neiris in the Beis HaMikdash. That's like lighting a candle, lighting a menorah, lighting the seven candles in the Beis HaMikdash, with the Beis HaMikdash is kulei or, it's full of light. We're not adding anything. Every mitzvah that we do, Hashem says, I gave you. I gave you. I gave you. We shouldn't think we're doing God a favor. That's not the right attitude. With that attitude, we're not going to succeed. Let me share with you a story. Quite a hair-raising story. There was a young girl who was born blind. You heard the story.
Second, I didn't hear from you.
Leilenu, she was born blind, but with the necessary family and support system, she was able to acclimate herself and get along in life and get the proper schooling until she grew to marriageable age and looking to marry someone. And lo and behold, Baruch Hashem, she found a suitable match. And she got married. And they're happily married for several years. And all of a sudden, they hear one day that a doctor, someone from Europe, came into New York and opened a practice, and he has a miracle cure. What's his miracle cure? He can cure someone who's blind. And he can give them, he can do a surgery, give them a new set of eyes, and they'll be able to see. And they call up and want to find out, can they get in? The waiting list is years long. Can only perform the surgery once every couple of months. Very upsetting, very dejecting. What could they do? Life goes on. A few weeks later, the husband tells his wife, you're not going to believe this. I had some pull, I knew some people. I got you an appointment. In 2 weeks' time, you'll have an appointment with this doctor. She's ecstatic. Unbelievable. I can't believe this is true. The husband says, but I just want you to realize that you know I'm also blind. And only one of us is going to see now. And I want you to be prepared for that. You know, we still have all the help in the house, and that will stay that way, but realize that that's what's going to be. She says, you know, of course, you know, I understand that, but it's better that at least one of us could see. And she goes through with the surgery, and lo and behold, it was a miracle. She's able to see again. Unbelievable. She comes home, and she's ecstatic, and life goes on. But now that she could see, she wants to conquer the world. And she goes and gets herself a degree, and she's ambitious, and she wants to do things. The only thing that seems to be slowing her down and stopping her from her reaching her great aspirations is that it's very difficult with a husband who's blind. To go and to leave him and to bring him along, it's just too cumbersome. It came to the point that she was so motivated in accomplishing what she needed to accomplish, so much that to make up for lost time, it came to the point that she wanted to leave him. And she asked him for a divorce. The husband, not one to say much, just went along with it. A few days later, she gets a message on her voicemail. And the husband says, "My dear wife, I just want to wish you well in all of your endeavors. I wish you only success. And especially now that you are able to see and accomplish so much, I wish you the best. But I want you to keep in mind always, whatever you see, whatever you're able to accomplish, just realize that those are my eyes." And indeed, the husband gave up his eyes that she should be able to see. Maybe I must take a drink first before we proceed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, you were very ambitious and you want to accomplish a lot in life, and sometimes Hashem says, you want to leave me on the side. Hashem says, I wish you the best of success, but just realize that those eyes that you have, and the ears that you have, and the hands and the feet, just realize they're mine. I gave them to you. So whatever you do, just realize, I empowered you. I gave you the ability to do it. And that's the way it is. Everything we have is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. And even the mitzvahs that we're able to do, it's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave you first. I gave you a house, and you put up the mezuzah. Did you ever put a mezuzah before I gave you a house? Did you ever put up a fence before I gave you a roof? Were you able then to buy any mitzvahs before I provided you with money? And this is a very interesting attitude that I think the Menorah teaches us. that every mitzvah that we do is just Hashem chafetz l'man tzidkai. Hashem desires that we have merit. Hashem wants us to get zchusim. It's not that He needs it. We don't add anything to Him. We don't benefit Him. Hashem allows us to do it. And Hashem gives us the wherewithal to do it. And whatever He gives us is whatever we'll be able to give back to Him. That's really the proper approach to a mitzvah. Every mitzvah is a wonderful opportunity that we're able to gain merit. Not only are we not really giving to Hashem, but Hashem says, I'll consider it. That it is you did give to me. Not only would I consider it, you're giving to me, I will give you reward for it. I'll give you schar for it. Even though I provided you with everything that you need. But Hashem says, you do the mitzvahs and I'll give you reward as well. And Aaron HaKohen understood this well. Aaron HaKohen understood this. And therefore he says, there was something that I was able, when it was missed out an opportunity, I was able to initiate something, I was able to do something original for Hashem. And I missed that out. The Nesiim, the heads of the tribes, they thought about it. And I didn't think about it. And that's why he felt bad. That's why it was Chol Shadayte, he felt bad, he was upset. I missed that opportunity. There are so many things that Hashem asks us to do, and we're not adding to Him, but yet we're able to do it. And here is something that we could originate on our own. And Aaron HaKohen says, I feel bad, I didn't get that. I didn't have that inspiration to be able to add even more. There are certain things that, when Hashem asks us to do things, the mitzvahs that He allows us to do that, do. But then there are things that are above and beyond that. It's like the mashal that Rav Shimshon Pinkus gives, that the boy who comes home from school and he tells his mother that they had a party because they finished a parsha in school, and they had a party and they got candy bags. Really, what do you have in the candy bags? All sorts of sweets and lollipops and everything. Wonderful. Did you enjoy it? Yes, I ate it all up. Except I saved one candy for you. And Rav Pinkus says, the mother has the ability to buy the whole candy shop if she wants. But all the money in the world can't pay for that sweet that the son saved her. And that's what Hashem wants from us. Hashem says, I give you mitzvahs and I provide you with everything to do the mitzvahs. And then there are things that are above and beyond that. And that's why Aaron felt bad. This is something that no one could have, Hashem with all the kavayach, with all the money in the world, could not have paid for that. What I initiate, what I gave him, what I gave him on my own, without him asking, is something that the Nesiim, the leaders of the tribes, were able to do. And Aaron felt bad that he wasn't able to do that. And that's why the mitzvahs of the Rabbanan are different than the mitzvahs of the Torah. The mitzvahs of the Torah, Hashem says, keep Shabbos and put on tefillin and talis and tefillah, davening and chesed, all commanded by the Torah. And to sit in the sukkah and eat matzah, Hashem says to do all that. But then there are things that we ourselves came up with. The Chachamim on their own said, let's institute this and let's institute that. Those are more special. The Gemara says, Chaviv and Divrei Seifim Yoiser Miyena Shal Torah. They're beloved. The words of the Chachamim, the mitzvahs that the Chachamim added, are more beloved to Hashem than even the main mitzvahs that Hashem gave us. Now Hashem says to Aaron, in this conversation that we are privy to, Hashem says to Aaron, don't worry, Aaron. Shalcha gedolah mishalahem. Yours is going to be even greater than theirs. They brought karbanis. They brought karbanis one time. It was an original idea. And they added something from their own. That was their initiation. And that's tremendous. And that's chavivus. That's very dear to me, Hashem says. But your children, in the second base Hamikdash, they're not going to be obligated. But they're going to realize this is something that we have to be meisa nefesh for. We have to get back to Beis Hamikdash to do this mitzvah lighting menorah. And Hashem says, and because of that, they're going to then institute for all time to light a menorah. And not only them, but because of that, they're going to initiate it, but that every Jewish home is going to also have a menorah. And that's why we have different levels by Chanukah. You can light one candle per night, and you've fulfilled your mitzvah. You say, you know, that's what I feel, that's what I want to add, that's what I want to be able to give to Hashem Kaviyachol in this mitzvah. And then there are those who are mahadrin, they want to do even more. And they feel, it's within me, I want to do more. And therefore they can light as many people in the household. And then what this has become the custom of all Jewish homes is that we continue to add one and then two and then three until the eighth night of Chanukah. What are we adding? We're giving light to Hashem? No, but it's an idea that this is something that we initiated. This is something that was not commanded by Hashem, but this is something that we worked for, and therefore it's special to us. And therefore the Rambam says, this mitzvah is chaviva hi ad ma'id. This is very special to us. Hashem doesn't need the light, as we mentioned before, as the Gemara says, v'chila eru hutzarot, does He need our light? No, it's certainly it's for our schus. It's for our schus to be able to give Him. But it's a schus that we have. It's a schus that we have that we're able to do little things. And we should never think we're doing Hashem a favor. We're doing ourselves a favor. Imagine a person is employed in a big company, multi-billion dollar company, and for many years he enjoys this position. And he has weeks of vacation, and he has bonuses twice a year. This is the life, it's wonderful. And his friend, they daven in the same shul, and his friend works for a very small company. Not too many people heard of them. Don't get any major bonuses at the end of the year, works very hard, doesn't have too many vacation days. But then as time goes on, the big company overnight disappears. They topple over. They go bankrupt. We've seen this happen. In our days, in the last few years, we've seen this happen. Tremendous companies. Now we think they're so stable, and people have their jobs, and they're secure, and overnight, no more bonuses, no more vacation days. You have 365 days off, but you're not getting paid for it. No more pension, bankrupt. There's nothing there. There are no funds available. And this fellow sits next to him in shul. Well, he still works for the same small company. Still works hard. Still doesn't have too many vacation days. The bonuses are not that great. But this company is very stable. This company is very stable. And that, the Medrash says, is the difference between us and the rest of the world. Hashem says, Shomer Hashem es kol ha'avam es kol ha'shoyim yashmid. Hashem says, I watch the reward for oyavav. It's really David HaMelech talking, but he's explaining how Hashem sets up His system. Shomer Hashem es kol ha'avav. All those that Hashem really loves, He puts away their reward for a later time. Shomer v'aviv shomer asadavar. He keeps it away. He puts it in a safe deposit. It's like the small company that the worker never realized, but actually every month there was money deposited in a special bank account. A bank account that can never go bankrupt, a bank account that can never run dry, a bank account that the dividends will be accumulating more and more until finally we'll be able to take it all out, and that will be an Olam Haba. Base color, Shoyim Yashmid. But those who don't follow Hashem's mitzvahs, the Rishayim Yashmid. Hashem says, oh, for all the things you did, you certainly will get rewarded. But there will be nothing left at the end. Ultimately, you will go bankrupt. And the Medrash is a Yalkut Shemayni, which gives a mashal to this. The mashal on the Pasuk, Va'acharav Kol Yishrei Lev. All those who are Yishrei Lev, all those who are tzaddikim, and understand this concept that we do mitzvahs, it's not for Hashem, but rather it's our tremendous opportunity to do mitzvahs. V'acharav, it's afterwards that Hashem pays them back. Mashal abalabayis shakol bonu mafkin alis b'gdainais. There was a person who his business was that he took deposits, safe deposits from people. when they deposited money or items with him for safekeeping, and he would put them, take these big donuts, he would take these items and put them away, this one in a box, this one in a closet. And one time, and he gave him something to watch. Could you watch this? And the owner of this little shop took it and he just tucked it right behind the door. So one of his workers says, "Hey, I don't understand. Usually you take all the things for safety keeping and you put them in some box and you put it in some room. And hey, you're just putting this by the door." And he says, "Yeah, you'll see why I have to do this." And he says, "This Kavusis, you'll see. He's going to go, you'll see, he's going to go and gamble now. And in a day or two, he's going to come back. He says, I need my deposit back. I need more of it. I need it back now. So I'm not going to store it away. I'm going to leave it right here." Kach, says the Medrash, Yisrael v'umas ha'ilam, oisin mitzvahs. Mashi Yisrael oisin ba'ilam azeh, eim avashin ala asalavai. All the mitzvahs we do, we don't say, Hashem, keep it right here because I want to cash in right away. Put it away, we say to Hashem. Put it away in a box. Store it away. Keep it tight because I'm not going to get it till for a long time. Aval oivet elilim. Hashem pays them back right away. So this idea we could take for Chodesh Kislev. The idea of mitzvahs, the idea of our approach, our attitude towards mitzvahs. The Arizal tells us that a Chodesh Kislev is represented by Binyamin. There are 12 Shvatim, 12 tribes, and there are 12 months. And each month corresponds to a different one of the Shvatim. And the Arizal tells us that Binyamin is the Shevet that represents Chodesh Kislev. Binyamin, we know he had a portion that a big part of the Beis Hamikdash, namely the Mizbeach and the Azara area, was in his portion. Except that there was one strip of the Mizbeach that was considered in the portion of Yehuda. Because Yehuda had the other half of the Beis Hamikdash. And when Binyamin found out about this, when he foresaw this in Ruach HaKodesh, he foresaw this happening. It says he was mitztayer b'chol yayim. He felt bad every day. He wanted to be able to have the full Mizbeach in his portion. He desired to have more. He knew what a special source it has to have the Mizbeach in his portion. He wanted even that. Not that his brother Yehuda shouldn't have it, but he wanted it. He desired it. And because he desired it so much, Hashem says, because I saw how much you wanted it, because how much I saw that you appreciated having more of Hashem in your territory, Hashem says, therefore, ubein k'seif of shachin, I'm going to rest my shechina between your shoulders. And therefore, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, was placed in the portion of Binyamin. And this is what Chodesh Kislev allows us to think about. The schus of Binyamin. That Binyamin is that one of the Shvatim.
Sorry.
All right, it's okay.
I turned all cells off, but turn it off.
I think it's a doorbell. I think someone's at the door. That's the karach of this chodesh. That's the ability we have in this month. It's the ability of Binyamin. It's the ability to want more and we could expand to more. Just like Aaron HaKohen wanted more. Aaron HaKohen felt bad that I wanted something more. And I could have had something more. I could have originated something that the Nesiim did and I didn't. And Hashem says, because you had that desire, I will allow you one day. Your children, your descendants will. And it will spread out to all of Klal Yisrael because they will be able to light these Neiris Chanukah. And that's what Binyamin wanted. He wanted a little more even. Hashem says, you'll get more. You won't have that strip of Mizbeach, you'll have an entire Chodesh HaKadoshim. So that's the idea of this Chodesh, Chodesh Kislev. We're able to expand ourselves. If we say to that every mitzvah that we are able to do, we're not doing Hashem favors, we're doing ourselves favors. It's an opportunity every time we do a mitzvah. Small, big, Dereisa, Derabanan, and whatever we're able to add originate, initiate by ourselves, is our schus. And that's what this month is all about. Because the price of mitzvahs is what we give it. We just read in last week's parsha that Esav sells the right to be the firstborn. The rights for all future generations. He sells it for a bowl of soup. And the Paiskim ask a question. It says, how could it be that it's not a fair sale? It's not a fair sale if the sale is so outlandishly high or low, so the whole sale is invalid. The whole sale is invalid. So when Esav afterwards screamed and says, oh, he fooled me, he shouldn't be able to go back on the deal. And Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky Shliti explained, he says, that the price of the firstborn rights and the price of any mitzvah and the price of Olam Haba is what a person places on it. Whatever you consider the price of something, that's what the price of the item is. And that's how Hashem treats us also. You consider this valuable, then you will be valuable. We'll end with a story that he said, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. There was a person who was down on his luck, he was having difficulty with Parnassa, so he went to his Rebbe and he says, what should I do? And the Rebbe says, I give you a bracha, just go to the marketplace and the first deal that you're able to find, engage in that deal, and in Mitzvah Hashem, it will be prosperous. And he says, okay, that's what I'll do. And he takes a few dollars and he goes out to the marketplace and he sees people are buying, people are selling, and he sits there on the side, not really knowing what to do. And some experienced merchant comes over to him and says, so what are you here for? He says, well, my rabbi told me that I should just buy the first thing that's offered to me. He says, okay, how about like this? I'll sell you my Olam Haba. Oh, how much is Olam Haba? He says, well, how much do you got? He says, I don't know, I have like a few dollars, $3 in my pocket. All right, I'll take it. Why not? Another $3 the merchant got. And he goes smiling all the way home. And he comes home and he tells his wife about his great deal. All right, it wasn't so much money, but didn't cost him anything. And his wife gets all upset. Are you crazy? You're a Jew, you're a Yid. You don't sell your Olam Haba. Go back right now and buy it back from him. Okay. There's just this an innocent deal. Goes back to the marketplace and says, sorry, sir, I want to buy it back. Here's the $3. The man says, oh, no. It doesn't cost $3 anymore. What do you mean it doesn't cost? That's how much I paid you. No, if I'm selling you back your Olam Haba, sorry, it's going to be $3,000. $3,000? I'm taking you to a Din Torah. And they go to the Beis Din. Mezin says, sorry, he's right. He says, you considered your Olam Haba to only worth $3 and you sold it for that. To him it's worth much, much more. So you have to pay him for what he feels it's worth. And that's what happened with Esav. That's how much he felt it was worth. At the time he felt that's how much it was worth. He was willing to sell it. Hashem says every mitzvah could be worth millions or could be worth a few dollars. It all depends how you want to view it. And that's the way Hashem will treat us as well. We consider every mitzvah to be chaviv. Particularly, the Rambam tells us the mitzvahs nerchanik is chaviva hi ad ma'oid, because it's something that we'll be able to initiate. We'll be able to add to ourselves, and every mitzvah we're able to do, and add to it, add a little bit to it, to the mitzvah, to the way we do the mitzvah, the simcha that we do the mitzvah with, that reward will come to us, not only in this world, but more importantly, in Olam Haba.